The H caps cost $3 each, and you need at least 3 a day to get by. I was short, so I began working the hole with Roy. We would ride along, each looking out one side of the subway car, until one of us spotted a flop sleeping on a bench. Then we would get off the train. I stood in front of the bench with a newspaper and covered Roy while he went through the luscious pockets. Roy would whisper instructions to me. A little left. Too far. A little back. There. Hold it there. And I would move to keep him covered. Often we were late, and the lush would be lying there with his pockets turned inside out. We also worked on the cars. I would sit down next to the lush and open a newspaper. Roy would reach across my back and go through the lush's pockets. If the lush woke up, he could see that I had both hands on the paper. An average night went more or less like this. We started work about 11 o'clock, getting on the uptown IRT at Times Square. At 116th, we spotted one and got off, but the flop got up and walked away before we could get near him. A shabby man with a wide, loose mouth accosted Roy and started talking. He was another lush worker. The fag scored again, he said. 2 notes and a wristwatch down at 96th Street. Roy muttered something and looked at his paper. The man went on talking in a loud voice. I had one come up on me. What are you doing with your hand in my pocket, he says. For Christ's sake, don't talk like that, Roy said and walked away from him. Fucking wrong bastard. There aren't many lush workers around now, only the fag, the beagle, and that tramp. They all envy the fag because he makes good scores. If a sucker comes up on him, he pretends to feel his leg like he was a fag. Those tramps on 103rd Street go around saying, "Goddamn fag," because they can't score. He's no more a fag than I am. Roy paused reflectively. Not as much, in fact. One night we got on the subway at Times Square. A flashily dressed man, weaving slightly, was walking ahead of us. Roy looked him over and said, "That's a good fucking mooch. Let's see where he goes." The mooch got on the IRT headed for Brooklyn. We waited, standing up in the space between cars, until the mooch appeared to be sleeping. Then we walked into the car, and I sat down beside the mooch, opening the New York Times. The Times was Roy's idea. He said it made me look like a businessman. The car was almost empty, and there we were, wedged up against the mooch with 20 feet of empty seats available. Roy began working over my back. The mooch kept stirring, and once he woke up and looked at me with bleary annoyance. "Let's get off," I said. "No, this is a good mooch. He's sitting on his overcoat, and I can't get into his pocket. When I tell you, fall up against him, and I'll move the coat at the same time." "Now, for Christ's sake, that wasn't near hard enough." "Let's get off," I said. I could feel fear stirring in my stomach. "He's going to wake up." "No, let's go again." "Now, what in hell is wrong with you? Just let yourself flop against him hard." "Roy," I said, "for Christ's sake, let's get off. He's going to wake up." I started to get up, but Roy held me down. Suddenly he gave me a sharp push, and I fell heavily against the mooch. "Got it that time," Roy said. "The poke?" No, I got the coat out of the way. The mooch was only half asleep. I expected to jump up and yell at any minute. Finally, I heard Roy say, I got it. Let's go, then. No, what I got is a loose roll. He's got a poke somewhere, and I'm going to find it. He's got to have a poke. I'm getting off. No, wait. I could feel him bumbling across my back so openly that it seemed incredible that the man could go on sleeping. It was the end of the line. Roy stood up. Cover me, he said. I stood in front of him with the paper shielding him as much as possible from the other passengers. There were only three left, but they were in different ends of the car. Roy went through the man's pockets openly and crudely. Let's go outside, he said. We went out on the platform. The mooch woke up and put his hand in his pocket. All right, Jack, he said. Give me my money. Roy shrugged and turned his hands out, palm up. What money? What are you talking about? You know goddamn well what I'm talking about. You had your hand in my pocket. Roy held his hands out again in a gesture of puzzlement and deprecation. Oh, what are you talking about? I don't know anything about your money. I've seen you on this line every night. This is your regular route. He turned and pointed to me. And there's your partner right there. Now, are you going to give me my dough? What dough? Okay, just stay put. We're taking a ride back to town, and this had better be good. Suddenly, the man put both hands in Roy's coat pockets. You son of a bitch, he yelled, give me my dough. Roy hit him in the face and knocked him down. Why, you, said Roy, dropping abruptly his conciliatory and puzzled manner. Keep your hands off me. The conductor, seeing a fight in progress, was holding up the train so that no one would fall on the tracks. Let's cut, I said. We started down the platform. The man got up and ran after us. He threw his arms around Roy, holding on stubbornly. Roy couldn't break loose. He was pretty well winded. Get this mooch off me! I hit the man twice in the face. His grip loosened, and he fell to his knees. Kick his head off, said Roy. I kicked the man in the side and felt a rib snap. The man put his hand to his side. Help! He shouted. He did not try to get up. Let's cut, I said. At the far end of the platform, I heard a police whistle. The man was still lying there on the platform, holding his side and yelling, Help! At regular intervals. There was a slight drizzle of rain falling. When I hit the street, I slipped and skidded on the wet sidewalk. We were standing by a closed filling station, looking back at the elevated. Let's go, I said. They'll see us. We can't stay here. We started to walk. There's sure to be an alarm out for us, Roy said. Keep a lookout for cars. We'll duck in the bushes if any come along. They'll be figuring us to get back on the subway, so the best thing we can do is keep walking. The drizzle continued. Dogs barked at us as we walked. Remember our story if we get nailed, Roy said. We fell asleep and woke up at the end of the line. This guy accused us of taking his money. We were scared, so we knocked him down and ran. They'll beat the shit out of us. You have to expect that. Here comes a car, I said. Yellow lights, too. We crawled into the bushes at the side of the road and crouched down behind a signboard. The car drove slowly by. We started walking again. I was getting sick, and I wondered if I would get home to the MS I had stashed in my apartment. We finally ran into the BMT line and rode back to Manhattan.